wanted to use this as a way of describing both a halachic approach to, you know, the ultimate matters, which of course are matters of Torah, but also to how we need to, you know, think about the world. So I thought a good place to start was a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, a Gemara that's known to all of you. Let's read it inside. Amar Rav Abba Amar Shmuel Shaloshanim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Halalu Omrim Halacha Kemosenu VeHalalu Omrim Halacha Kemosenu Yatza Baskol VeAmra Elu VeElu Divrei Elokim Chayim Hein VeHalacha KeBeis Hillel VeChimiachar SheElu VeElu Divrei Elokim Chayim Mipnei Ma Zachu Beis Hillel Likbo Halacha Kemosan. So the Gemara says Mipnei Shenochin VeAluvin Hayu. Rashi understands Aluvin to mean Savlanim, that they were patient. Nochin from the language of Noach, or sometimes at the root of Nachas, a person who's pleasant, so that they were patient and pleasant. Okay, so certainly Menschlich, right? Vishonin Divrayim Divrei Beis Shammai V'lo Od Elo Shemagdibin Divrei Beis Shammai LeDivrayim. That they always studied the words of Beis Shammai before their own words. So just something of a tangent. Rashin Ksuvis is very bothered by this idea of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. You should all be aware of this makor. It's a little bit less germane to the rest of my discussion, but everybody should know Rashi Nixuv Estaf Nun Zayin takes the approach that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means when you have a machlokas amoraim, not you have, let's say, trei amoraim aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, what was his shita, because then one is right and one is wrong. But if you have a machlokas amoraim about some halachic matter, one is saying aser, one is saying mutter, what that means, this is the bolded part in Rashi, is zimnin d'shayach haytaima v'zimnin d'shayach haytaima shatam ishapech l'fishinay advarim mishinay mua. It doesn't mean that both are true at once, Rashi thinks, but elu velu divrei Elokim Chayim means that both of them can be true under specific circumstances, and those circumstances don't need to change very much for the other shita to hold true, because they're based on certain reasons, and as he says here at the end, v'hatam is hapech l'fi shinai hadvarim b'shinai muad, that small changes in reality can mean that now the psak would actually reflect that. So he does not think that elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means, but many think it means, that two things could actually be objectively true at once, but that both can have great truth value depending on the fact pattern, and the fact pattern can change very subtly. So it is relevant in that sense, that you have to pay very careful attention to the fact pattern. Okay, that's for sure. But most interpreted this Gemara to mean that, you know, both are actually objectively true. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai could both be objectively true in this case, and yet the halacha is going to follow Beis Hillel. So the question really then is, like, why should that be? And intuitively, I find it rather unsatisfying to say, in the pursuit of MS, that as important as it is for people to be nochin ve'aluvin in general, it's hard for me to believe that, like, the tie should go to the nicer person. I have no problem saying that in matters that aren't of strict halachic discourse. Like, if I had, I don't know, one ice cream cone and I had to give it to one person, and there were two people there, and one of them was a really nice person, and the other one was like a class A jerk, I would give it to the nicer person. But I don't think that should be dispositive in a halachic situation. So what I've said very often, and I later discovered to be a mefurish atosos rid, is the following. Shonen divrayim divrei Beis Shammai. The rid says the following. And I want to just learn the rid, and then I want to build off of the rid. Perush, hayu shonen hatainos v'atshuvos hayu omer lam Beis Shammai, umidaktiken bahen, umitoch shemidaktiken b'rayo seyen, uv'rayo shel Beis Shammai, omden al borion shel davar, umichuvanin aliba dehilchasa. Ava Beis Shammai, lo hayu mashgichen medivir Beis Hillel adaktik bahen, umitoch kach lo amdu al borian shel davar shelo hayanirin lahen ella divrayhem. That is to say the following. Even if Beis Shammai could claim contra Rashi, objective truth in what they're saying, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, the greater truth, kaveyachal, would rest with Beis Hillel because we have greater confidence in somebody who deeply considered the views of their interlocutor. And the more attention and the more seriously, not to make a straw man out of people who disagree with you, but to take very seriously their claims, to see the best parts of their claims, to consider those, and yet to, in the end, retain one's convictions, which means, by the way, sometimes you will be flexible, getting back to Israel and Eitan's point, and you will be open to new information, and you will be willing to say, in light of that argument, you know, I'm going to, you know, withdraw my position. As a matter of fact, this was pointed out on that day, I think this is, might have been Professor Feldman who pointed it out, but on that day, I think, again, I believe it was the 20th of July, 1789, where there was a move in the convention to remove the impeachment clause from the Constitution, one of the two individuals who made the motion after hearing, you know, Madison and Gouverneur Morris and William Davey and other framers debate the issue said, I withdraw my motion. I realized that it was wrong, that it would not be the best thing to remove this clause. So again, that's not a sign of like intellectual weakness. That's a sign of somebody who's really willing to take into account the views of people who disagree with them. So the Tosfos Rid, and here you'll see where I want to build off the Tosfos Rid, is suggesting, again, Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim can actually make room for objective truth on both sides, but that the halacha will accord with the person who really pays greater attention to one who disagrees with him and is willing to take into account those views. Now, I want to build off of that because to return to the Gemara in Erevin for just a moment, that was only one of two reasons that, quote-unquote, Beis Hillel zacha likbo halacha kamosan. What was the other view that the Rid doesn't frontally address? This was the nice guy clause. What's that? Nochen ve'aluvin hein. So I'd like to suggest something similar. I'm really just extending the logic of the Tosfos Rid. Is that nochen ve'aluvin isn't the Gemara's way of saying, you know, like in baseball, the tie goes to the runner. So in halacha, ve'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim is not like Rashi and Ksuvah said, but means that both can claim objective truth, that the tie, so to speak, doesn't just go to the nice guy, but that if somebody doesn't take things personally, nochin ve'aluvin, that they weren't, you know, again, they were patient, we'll get back to that point, but nochin, they were savlanim, they didn't become personally ensnared, and they tried to really understand the issue in an impersonal way. I don't mean in a dispassionate way, they were not like emotionally invested, they obviously were in halacha, what could be more important, but they didn't, you know, assume that people disagreed with them were making personal attacks. So that kind of equanimity, right, lends a person much greater, much greater authenticity in a debate. Right, if you're willing to allow people to disagree with you without taking it as a personal attack, I think you're much more able to hear the legitimate concerns that they're raising, and when appropriate, to disagree, to continue, to maintain that one's, you know, position is able to withstand the scrutiny and the criticisms of those who disagree with you. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin some of us saw last year that I thought would be an appropriate place to bring this, you know, conversation to its conclusion, which has to do with the mission avos of Hevu Misunin Badin. Ephraim, you want to do the honors? Darish Bar Kapara?
Darish Bar Kapara.
So an image that fascinated Chazal in general, you know, the Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach. They have so much to say about that. So Hevu Mesunin Badin, you know, Lo Sa'ale V'Ma'alos Al Mizbechi. So of course the imagery here is somebody, you know, who's, you know, skipping up the Mizbeach, right? Who's, you know, taking these leaps, and ve'ele ha-mishpatim, you know, should not be in that way. It should be, you know, again, a very, just like you'd, you know, walk up a ramp without these psiagasa, but with small steps, with incremental steps, slowly building your argument, making sure that you've taken all the facts into account, and not just, as so many of you said, in terms of what's going on right now, rushing to conclusions. So Hevu Mesunim Badin is about incrementalism, is about making sure that all of the information is being understood and assimilated before jumping to conclusions. We have time for Ephraim to get in one, and then I just want to finish with the Mishnabos, what I call the Halichos HaChacham, which I think, you know, very, very much sorely needed in the current climate. Ephraim.
The Rashi and the Pasuk takes as a closet, you know, if stones, which are, you know, they don't know anything, you shouldn't offend them, then Kalachomer, you know, Chaviro is telling the Bus, you shouldn't, right, offend them. And I think that you can also take that as an image for Mishpat, that you have to step on this person, let's say, right, if they're guilty, you're going to have to punish them. But he's achicha, right, b'nikla achicha le'inecha. And you shouldn't be rendering judgment with happiness or with glee at seeing someone go down, but if you have to step on someone, then you have to
right, like the Mishnah Avos, it's a beautiful, you know, connection you're making with the Mishnah Avos. V'yu beinecha ketzadikin, you know, k'sheniftari mefonecha b'shah, shekiblu aleihem esadin, right? That, you know, if you have to really scrutinize them, you know, that they're rishayim beinecha, when they're omdin lefanecha, that should only last as long as they're there. So I really agree. Okay, so, you know, halavai, somebody would read this, you know, in the Congress today. But Shiva Dvarim Begolim v'Shiva Bechacham. So, you know, we're obviously all trying to cultivate the qualities of a Chacham. So Chacham Eino Medaber Bifnei Mishu Gadol Menu Bechacham V'Minyan. So a person who is really wise respects people who have greater expertise than they do or greater experience than they do. And both of those things matter in life. And doesn't mean that you can't, you know, retain your own opinion. But Eino Medaber, there's a certain sense of A, first of all, you know, not dominating that conversation, and B, you know, deferring. There's a lot of wisdom that's reflected here in humility to know that this person, you know, has spent their life studying a particular topic and, you know, may well know a thing or two more about it than one thinks that one does. This is very important. This is not Misha Gadol Menu, but simply somebody who disagrees. You don't interrupt. You know, like getting back to some of the things that we're watching right now, I don't want to overstate the case, but I think it's the minority of people who start talking who aren't interrupted at some point. I mean, the interruptions are out of control. You know, and it does not reflect well on the body. So simply not interrupting people, ve'eno nivhala hashiv, and not rushing to respond. You know, again, the more that it's about scoring points, so you can't like even let a second go by before you try to respond. But if you're really listening to somebody and trying to take into account what it is that they're saying, you wouldn't just immediately respond. You might even say something like, "I'm going to have to think that over. You're raising some important points. You know, let me consider it further." Shoelkin, and you ask questions, again, not to grandstand, but you're asking pertinent questions. Umeshiv kalacha, and when a person, you know, responds, that they're responding, again, not as, you know, one person said, to the question that they wanted to be asked so they can get their talking points out there, but that you respect a person enough to answer the question that they were actually asking. Omer al rishon, rishon vel achron, achron achacham, is of organized mind and thought and verbalizes things as such. And, you know, maybe the most important, save for last, these last two, Alma shalo shama, omer lo shamati, say that's really not my expertise. I can't really speak with any authority on that topic. And most impressively, umode al ha'emes, and a person who can say, you know what, you know, I was wrong about this, and this person really was correct. So, you know, the contemporary moment provides us a lot of opportunities to think about a halachic perspective. Surely when it comes to matters of how we engage in Torah debate, and, you know, emulating Beis Hillel in that way, if we're correct that the halachas really like Beis Hillel, not just because they were, quote-unquote, you know, the nicer guys, but because, you know, having these kinds of habits actually allows one to better understand MS because you take your interlocutors very seriously. and you don't personalize things, but you try to understand their points. But I also think it helps us think about life. And hopefully, even though we're living in a climate that does not reinforce these virtues and this way of having discussions about important issues, hopefully we can look to the sources of our own tradition to make sure that, we're not being unduly influenced by some of the debate that goes on right now. And instead, we conduct ourselves in the way that Chazal would expect us to, divrei chachamim, benachas nishmayim.